This is Degaris Masculist MGTOW Flyers. That is 2-3-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 715, entitled Masculist Alumni Don't Donate to Their Anti-Masculist Colleges. Description. This is one of my more important masculist ideas in several years. The idea is that masculist alumni refused to donate to their anti-masculist colleges, forcing them to become bi-conscious or go bankrupt. By becoming bi-conscious, these colleges will spread masculist awareness across society more efficiently. The flyer imagines a male student delivering a masculist speech to the president of Harvard, converting him to masculist, bi-conscious thinking. The flyer itself. Masculist alumni don't donate to their anti-masculist colleges, by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. This flyer presents an idea that I consider to be one of my better ones that I have had over the past few years. Instead of just coming out with it directly, I prefer to lead up to it with a bit of recent historical background. In my previous flyer, number 714, entitled The Masculist Takeover of Gender Politics, I mentioned that I had asked for the opinion of my partner on how my former college, Queen's College, associated with Melbourne University, would react if I proposed to the master of Queen's College that I might give them money as an alumnus to establish a PhD fellowship fund and my library, on condition that the college allow me to give a full hour talk on the core ideas of masculism to the students. My partner emailed back to me that she was certain that the college would reject this proposal, using the words, in quotes, in female voice,
"Will be rejected completely, I promise you."
That left a bitter taste in my mouth, a sense of burning injustice at how badly such institutions treat men after a six-decade monopoly of gender politics by feminists. The day after receiving her opinion, I was in a train travelling to her house and was thinking about how I felt towards Queens and would I give them my fund money. I thought not. And then I had an epiphany. The idea I had went as follows. I don't want to give a hypocritical, bigoted, anti-masculist institution my money. Fuck them. I'm a masculist. So if I'm going to donate my money to fund a future PhD student, then I want that institution to be pro-masculist, to support the liberation of men, in capital letters, half the world's population. Then I had the idea that rocked me. My God, yes, if I think that way, then as masculist ideas spread to most men in the rich countries, then the idea contained in the very title of this flyer takes on tremendous power. Imagine, for example, that the business manager and the president of Harvard, the most prestigious university in the world, in brackets, along with Cambridge University of the UK, start hearing from its male alumni that from now on they refuse to donate money to Harvard because it is anti-masculist. Imagine the reaction of these two Harvard leaders on hearing such opinions and seeing millions of dollars disappear from their coffers each year due to their pro-feminist, anti-masculist bigotry. I googled the question, quote. How much money does Harvard University receive each year from its alumni? The answer was that Harvard receives about $1.2 billion, with a B, in gifts per year, most of it from its alumni. That gave me an idea that galvanized me. It goes as follows. Spread Masker's ideas to men, especially highly intelligent, educated men who have money to donate to their colleges, putting such donations into their wills, brackets, that I'm now doing, given that I'm getting close to being 80 years old, close brackets. Suggest to these newly Masker-listed alumni to tell their colleges that they will refuse to donate to them while their colleges remain hypocritically bigoted anti-maskists. That will motivate these colleges to start thinking, quote, WTF! Why suddenly are so many of our potential alumni donors refusing to donate to us, and worse, are verbally hostile and insulting towards us? When money really starts talking, then presidents and business managers of powerful educational institutions, such as Harvard, really start listening. They'll be asking themselves, quote, what is this Maskism that these alumni are talking about? Why do they feel so strongly about it that they refuse to give us money? We never had that problem before. Why are they hurling abuse at us, calling us hypocrites and traitors to our own sex? End quote. So they start asking around, probably beginning with their own children or young students on campus, asking them, quote, what is Maskism? And why are our alumni refusing to donate to us based on their Maskist beliefs? Then comes the education process. Imagine some highly articulate Maskist Harvard student gets called into the president's office to educate the Harvard president on the core ideas of Maskism. The student says to the president, quote, I know you are a busy man, so I'll keep this explanation of the core ideas of Maskism pithy and short. You can think about the details later or look up the term Maskism on the internet and start watching Masker's videos to learn how the Maskists think. The Masker student then launches into a several-minute speech on the core ideas of Maskism, starting with dash. Quote, the core idea of Maskism is that it is a rebellion by men against being man's slaves to women, working for women for decades of their lives, being manslaved by women, and for one father in four, divorce raped in the feminist-controlled divorce courts. Maskists are men's libbers. They see gender oppression as a two-way street, and that women oppress men worse than vice versa, since many of women's gender crimes against men are horrible and last decades. For example, the Maskist Big Three of women's manslavery, women's divorce rape, women's forced fathering. So Maskers see the public trashing of men by feminists as profoundly hypocritical and unjust, given that women oppress men far worse. Maskers are abolitionists who see manslavery as literally a thousand times worse problem than was Negro slavery, given the numbers. There were several million Negro slaves in the slave period in the 1800s in the US, and there are several billion manslaves in the world today. Maskers put powerful moral pressure on women to FIP up, brackets, FIP, that's F-I-P, equals financially independent person, so that they do not become fluffies, brackets, fluffy, equals, a Maskers term for a traditional woman who expects to parasite off the money and labor of a man for decades of his life, thus manslaving him. Maskers argue that it was men who gave women science-based medicine, so that women now have a life expectancy of 85 years. Men gave women the pill, household gadgets, higher education, etc., so that women now have a career window of half a century. Maskers point the finger at women, saying, now that you women can work, you must work. Anything else is man's slavery, and man's slavery will get you killed by being totally ignored by men, masculisted men, to death. Maskers see monoconscious feminists, in brackets, monoconscious equals. The only gender politics one has heard of is feminism. Close brackets. Biconscious maskers, in brackets, biconscious equals. Being equally familiar with maskist ideas as feminist ideas. Being aware that gender oppression is a two-way street, so that women oppress men too. Close brackets. See the public trashing of men by monoconscious feminists as strongly hypocritical and become very angry in their presence, berating them with verbally violent, ideologically hateful, maskless rhetoric, blowing them out of the room, telling these MFBs, that's monoconscious feminazi bigots, that their monoconscious bigotry against men is intolerable to men, masculisted men, so is punished severely by not getting a man, forced to rot on the shelf, manless, loveless, sexless, babyless, and spat at, utterly rejected, both socially and sexually. This is the end of part one.